Welcome to PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. Don't let the man in the title confuse you. This isn't an aggro show. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined by my good friend, Nadia Cater.
Hey.
How's it hanging?
Well, how's it hanging?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm excited about today's episode.
Yeah. So you chose the movie, and I love this movie. I'm glad you did. My question, though, that's been on my mind since you asked me to do this, is why? Why did you pick this movie? Tampopo.
Tampopo. We are talking about Tampopo from 1985, Tampopo. This is a Japanese film. I don't know, but you've kind of become the Japanese correspondent. I don't know why. Like, we do a lot of, you and I, like, we've done anime together. We did Godzilla together. Like, I don't know why. You're not a Japanese person. I'm not a Japanese person. Maybe you're the only person I know that shares my love of Japanese pop culture.
Perhaps. I think you love it more than I do,
but
but I do love it.
But I think you love this film more than I do. You seem to have a deeper connection. I only saw it. I've talked about, I got the Criterion channel. It's changed my life. I just watched it randomly on Criterion like a month ago. And, you know, I kept thinking about it because it's such an interesting film and it's such a fun film. And then I just, you and I were going to record about something else. And I was like, do you want to record about Tampopo? And I didn't even know if you had seen it. And you were like, oh, yeah, I love that movie. I totally record about Tampopo. And I was like, perfect. So I've only seen it twice. I watched it originally, then I watched it again today to take notes. What about you? What's your history with Tampopo?
You know, I think what I can't remember the first time exactly when I saw it. I definitely watched it in a theater. It might have been a
Oh, wow.
re-release or when Tampopo entered the Criterion, because I think I watched it at the Film Forum or like
Wow.
one of those, yeah, repertoire theaters in New York that I love so much, and watched it on a whim just because, like, hey, they say it's a ramen Western. That's weird. Danielle, you want to go? And Danielle had no qualms about ramen, so we went.
Yeah.
And we just loved it ever since. And we watched it, like, I think I watched it now 3 times for the podcast, twice recreationally. And I recently, Danielle talks about it like once a year. So I got it for her for Hanukkah this year. So it was funny that when you asked to watch it, because I was like, oh, great. Now I could pull open this Blu-ray and watch it and check out the features. And to me, it's cozy. It's just, strange.
For sure.
It's such a strange movie that doesn't take itself super seriously.
No.
It's not at all. It's very rich. And there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on, but there's a lot going on in a sense that it's not confusing. There's a main plot point, and there's vignettes.
It can be a little confusing. Right, right, right. There's vignettes. Like, the way I think about it is, it's got a main plot and main characters like any Western narrative movie you'd see. But whereas a lot of narrative movies will have, like, then subplots, this movie doesn't. It has sketches that are characters that are completely they're not related to the other characters, except for one, the gangster, who we'll talk about. And the only thing that sort of ties the sketches into the main plot is the theme of food.
Well, food and pleasure. I think that's like, and how they intertwine.
Sure,
So
it's
you
about
said
ramen.
It's about ramen, but it's also about just food in general.
Yes.
Because there's definitely scenes where characters are eating Japanese food that they don't explain what it is. So unless you have had certain dishes before, I have no context. But there was a scene where they had these kind of the characters, the Tampopo, the truckers are in her kitchen and she made them like lunch. And it's almost like they're eating rice, but also soup on the side. And I was like,
and they
do
call
they
it
go together?
pickles.
Yeah.
I don't know what's pickled there.
some vegetable, I guess. There's also another scene where it looks like someone was like making kind of like a Japanese version of tacos. Like they had like a seaweed wrap and they were putting ingredients and then folding it in half and eating it. And I was just like, but what is it? It looks good, but they don't tell you. This is a movie that's so interesting because it's so Western influenced and like American movie influence, but then also it's so Japanese.
Western in a real literal way, like westerns, like cowboys, like the lead, the male protagonist Goro, which means bull, is basically a cowboy in the movie, even though it takes place in contemporary 1985.
Yeah, but it's like the outfits too, because even a lot of the men in the movies are dressed in like old timey looking clothes. And it's so odd to me, but it's also very like, oh man, it's
Well,
I don't
let's
even know where
talk
to
a little bit
start.
of, I know it's hard to start. I'm gonna assume that the audience isn't familiar with it, so I wanna kind of help them along because I wanna sell the movie to them. I think they should go and watch it because it's a lot of fun. You and I last week were talking about The Bear, and this movie is like The Bear, except it's nothing like The Bear. It doesn't have a tone like The Bear, it doesn't have characters like The Bear. It's a very different story than The Bear. But where it's similar to The Bear is its central theme is food and the connections food makes, and there's a lot of beautiful images of food and recipes and how food is made. It is truly a food movie. Our main character is Tampopo, which means dandelion. And Tampopo is a single mother who's running a ramen shop that's not very good. And two truckers happen to come into her ramen shop, and they befriend her. And one of the truckers is like, he's not a cook, but he really knows a lot about ramen. And she's like, please teach me. And it becomes kind of like Rocky for ramen. Because then he like trains her to be a ramen chef, but it's like really light, really funny. It's got all those weird little sketches in it. It's such a fun movie.
Yeah, I would say, and I think we'll talk about this in a little bit, but it's about the relationships in food and the relationship between people, and it's not just the craftsmen, right? The people that make the food, it's about the people that enjoy and love the food. And like Goro is a ramen aficionado. It's like he doesn't make ramen, but he knows when something's off and he tells her that.
He knows what good ramen is. Like, so this movie does jump around a lot of weird ways. In the very beginning is we see a movie theater, and this gangster character dressed in all white with like this beautiful woman on his arm come and sit in the front row. And they're like goons come and like bring them like turkey and like beautifully made, like immaculate meal. And then he walks right up to the camera and looks in the camera and he's like, oh, you're watching a movie too, talking directly to us. And he's like, oh, don't you hate it when people are eating in movies and they make noise? And then some guy's eating chips. And he goes over and he's like, if you make that noise during the movie, I'll fucking kill you. And then that gangster guy, he isn't one of our like main characters, but he repeats. He's one of the outside of the main characters that we just talked about, Tempopo and the two truckers. The gangster is the only other character that repeats throughout. But basically, he is not involved in their story at all, and he breaks the fourth wall in that weird way. And the movie begins. After that, we go to the truckers. And one of the younger trucker, who's actually played by a very young Ken Watanabe, who you might know from like Inception or whatever, he's reading a book about ramen or a novel about ramen, and we see a visualization of what he's reading, and it's this amazing scene of a book in a movie, and it's a young guy and an old guy, and they're at a ramen shop, and the old guy is explaining how to eat ramen, and I want to read it because I wrote it all down. It's so good. So the old guy says, first, contemplate the ramen. Observe the entire bowl while savoring the aroma, the jewels of fat twinkling on the surface, The menma shoots glistening with fat, the nori darkening with moisture, the scallions floating on top. Above all, the star of the show, three slices of roast pork, modestly submerged. Now then, with the tips of your chopsticks, smooth the surface and caress the ramen to express affection. Then point your chopsticks at the roast pork. At this stage, merely tap it, nudge it lovingly with the tips. Slowly pick it up and nestle it in the broth to the right. The next part is very important. I want you to quietly apologize to the pork until we meet again. It's almost like it's weird because we never come back to these people, and it's a book within a movie. But like, it's almost like the movie's telling you how to like the movie. And there's a good there's a the Blu-ray, and also on Criteria, there's like this video essay that is about the movie, and the video essay is about amateurs versus professionals, and like you said, like people who just like love stuff, and I want to give credit, like the essayist makes the point that it's like this scene is like almost teaching you how to enjoy the movie. Like, don't worry about what makes sense. Don't worry about how weird it is. Don't worry about who's this character. Why is there a gangster? Like, and go slow. Sip the movie. Indulge the movie.
Yeah, but it's also in a way it's also funny because it's like they're taking that scene is like here's how to enjoy the movie, but also this is how silly it can get. Like apologize
Yes.
to the pork before you eat
Yes. Obviously,
it.
like, yeah, there's definitely comedy there. It's such a great way to start a movie, because it ends up being about someone who makes ramen, but it's like you said, like it's about enjoying it too.
Yeah, because there's so much you see people eat so much in this movie, which you would
Yeah.
expect from a film movie, any food movie anyway, but the way they enjoy it and like it's like a luxurious experience in itself, and it's just such a delight.
Yeah.
Like just so delightful. And I just yeah, what you know what's funny is like after the character is reading the book, he comments on it like this is ridiculous. So
Yeah.
it's almost like, okay, so are you saying this is how we enjoy the movie or not?
Right. But then they're both hungry from the book, so they go and they stop in Tempopo's ramen shop, and that's how they meet her. And it's
Yeah,
interesting.
so
I'm sorry, go on.
I was just gonna say, yeah, it helps drive the characters. Regardless of if you think it's silly or not, it still gets the characters.
Yeah.
It's like the mulligan that gets them into
Yeah.
where they need to go.
It's interesting to think of truckers as modern day cowboys, because I didn't notice until the second time I watched, on the top of Goro's truck, there are bullhorns.
Oh yeah, he buys into the look hard. He's even wearing like a cowboy hat.
And spoiler alert for the ending, he sort of leaves. Like, after he helps Tampopo open the shop, there's like a question of whether or not they're gonna hook up, because they seem to really like each other, but he doesn't. He just goes back on the road. He leaves. He's helped her do her mission, and that's very much in the Western tradition of like, okay, now I'm moving on to the next thing.
Yeah, the drifter puzzle. Yeah, because he also comes out of nowhere. We don't know anything about him. We
Right.
know a little bit more about Tampopo than we do Goro and Gun.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just kind of come in at the start of the story. There already was something going on there. Whatever they were doing with their life, we don't even know what they're driving.
Yeah, what they yeah, exactly.
Hauling, right? But then they go out. They just go back out like a Clint Eastwood movie, just off in the distance.
I haven't said yet that Tampopo from 1985 is written and directed by Yuzo Aimari. It stars Nobuko Miyamoto as Tampopo. She's very good and charming. I'm sorry, I'm very bad at pronouncing some of these names. Sotami Yamakaze as Goro and Ken Watanabe as Gun. Again, like, think about the Western. Like, one's name is Goro, which means bull. One's name is Gun. Like, these are like, it's that, like, that Western, like the older cowboy and the younger cowboy who's a little bit crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I forgot to say, in the very first scene where the gangster's talking to us, he mentions something that comes up later where he goes, "When you die, you see a whole movie of your life, and that's like the last movie you get to see."
Dark.
It's dark, but it's interesting because it's like movies are also about pleasure. Oh, excuse me.
Absolutely.
All right. If me and Nadia like cut each other off or something, it's because we're on Zoom and sometimes it like doesn't work perfectly. So let's talk about some of the characters. In the ramen shop, you've got Tempopo, who's the single mother. She's got this kid named, oh, what's his name? Taboo, who gets beaten up by other kids his age. The father, I think, died. Is the father dead? Yeah, he's dead. You've got Goro and Gunn, who we know nothing about where they come from, where they're going, or what anything. They seem to only have each other. You've got Ken, who is like this bully. He's like this Bluto. He's like, when we first meet him, he's like aggressively hitting on Tampopo, but also like nagging her and telling her that her ramen sucks. And what's interesting is like the movie never says this is good or this is bad without explaining it. Like the movie gets into details of like how you make broth and how to not make broth. Like when they describe her ramen is bad, they explain like you're not using the right lye in the water you're using to make the broth. You've got to make the broth hot, but you can't let it boil over. There's too much of this or too little of that. Like it's really the way that everyone talks about ramen is so interesting because it's also like it's not like the biggest, most important cuisine. You know what I mean? It would be like an American film about hamburgers, right? That's what's interesting about it. It's like ramen is like comfort food.
But it is taken very seriously.
Right, it is taken seriously, but you know, like it's not, this isn't a movie about like great cuisine. It's about something that gives pleasure, like movies.
There's, one of the things I've thought about is I watched a lot of food shows too, and there was that Netflix show about different chefs. Do you remember? It was
I
had
think
this.
so.
Yeah, it was the same director or the creator of Jiro Dreams of Sushi. Did
Okay,
you ever see
yeah.
that?
Yes, I have. That's a
David
great
Gill.
movie about food.
Also excellent. But yeah, so anyway, one of the things I thought about is they have an episode on a ramen chef who is American, and he lived in Japan for like on and off for decades. And one of the things that he talked about was like how people wouldn't take him seriously or wouldn't go to his chef. Go to his restaurant because they go in and see like a white guy behind the counter.
Interesting.
And yeah, until he finally something changed, like people actually started trying his food. And that's when he kind of exploded in popularity. And he called his restaurant Ivan Ramen. And I think he lives in America now, but I think he's still like a big ramen dude. But one of the things that I thought about and the reason why that came up is just like it is a comfort food, but people take it very seriously,
Yeah.
like guarding recipes and also, that kind of xenophobia thing is like, well, how would a white guy know how to make ramen or
Right.
something? And it is silly. It's kind of like, I don't know, I can't even think of an American equivalent of
Right.
someone's like very serious about burgers, but I think America's relationship with food is very different than
Right,
Japanese
right.
relationship with food.
Well, there's a funny scene where they, and I think the whole thing might be a dream. It's odd. There's a funny scene where Goro and Tampopo, they spend a lot of time going to other ramen shops to, you know, figure out what makes one good or what makes one bad and taste a lot of different ramen. So they go to this one and they finish, but they didn't finish their bowl. There's still broth. And the cook is like, "What the hell? There's still broth in here. What's wrong?" And they're like, "No, nothing's wrong. We just weren't that hungry." And he's like, "No one orders ramen when they're not hungry. This is such an insult." And he's like angry at them. And then she's like, "Well, since you're making me tell you, like," and then Goro explains all the ways that he thinks their ramen sucks. And then the guy's like, "We are coming to your shop tomorrow to eat your ramen, and it better be good or else." And it ends up being like a weird dream. But like there's a lot of shit like that. Like let's talk about the character that they call Sensei.
Was he supposed to be Akira Kurosawa? Because
I didn't think that. What makes you say that?
he's dressed almost exactly like what Akira Kurosawa looked like in the last like decade or two of his life.
Interesting.
Like
I didn't think that. I didn't.
I don't know if that's supposed to be true or not. It's just the way he was
It's
dressed, like the
interesting
hat,
reading. Yeah.
yeah, the cap and the
Well,
like, because they meet
yeah.
Sensei while he's in a group of homeless guys
Yeah.
that
And I
also
think Sensei's also unhoused.
yeah.
But they're like movie tramps. Like one of them is there's a whole scene that's basically like a recipe scene where like Tampopo's son goes with this like homeless guy who cooks him an egg omelet over rice, a rice omelet,
With
and
ketchup, that
with
and that's a
ketchup.
real dish.
And the director said it's supposed to be homage to Charlie Chaplin.
I saw that. I wrote that in my notes. I'm like, this is so like silent comedy kind of thing.
Yeah, but it also
'Cause they
teaches you how to make that, which is interesting. But yeah, well, like again, like I think there's a connection to be made between like movies themselves and ramen. Like that, like I didn't think about that he looks like that they call him Sensei and he looks like Akira Kurosawa, but it makes sense because Akira Kurosawa is like one of the most important Japanese directors. And Sensei, he's not a professional. He was a gynecologist who just made ramen on the side, but like knows everything about ramen. And it's very weird because at some point, Goro says to Tampopo, like, you know what? I think it's time for you to meet Sensei. And they go to like a park and like hanging around, like just hanging around are all these guys, and they've got like grease on their face. They're like so over the top, like tramp looking homeless people. And Sensei's this old man, and but like all, and they're all like they look so disheveled, but they're talking about like fine cooking and fine French cuisine, and somebody's talking about sake, and they all are talking about food. So it's so interesting because they're like, I still don't know exactly how to read this. Like they're connoisseurs, they love this stuff, and they know a lot about it, yet they're depicted as like completely so low status. I don't
I
totally
think
get it.
I don't know if I took I'm this might be a stretch here, but what I took it as is like that's another example of the amateur professional relationship where it's
Yeah.
like these guys have to scrounge and they literally say they go through trash and they tell you, oh, this is from this restaurant and this is from that restaurant, and then we put it together and they
Yeah.
make a meal. And it's I think it is. It's back like just because you're, you know, you look a certain way or act a certain way, it doesn't mean that you don't have this palate, right?
Yeah.
And I one of the I was watching the extras on my Blu-ray, and one of them was about they actually interviewed a bunch of ramen chefs talking
Oh,
about this
really?
movie. Yeah. And how it was described was like they're like a Greek chorus of homeless men.
Oh.
I was like, oh, this is wow. Talk about
Damn.
like Western, right?
Yeah,
Like,
that's great.
I was like, this is brilliant.
That's great. Yeah.
it's such a fun, you know, it's funny though, is like all the amateurs that help, like also in the movie, it kind of does work in a Western kind of ensemble where they collect a group of people
Right. It's
to
like the
come
Seven
to,
Samurai or something. Or
yeah.
like by the end, there's like a gang of like you got Tenpopo, the two truckers, you've got Sensei, you've got this guy who I guess is like the cook or the butler or whatever of this rich person that they meet
He's the
along the way.
driver. He's
He's
not
the
even the
driver.
cook. That makes it even more interesting, though. It's like none of them are professional chefs in any way, but they help her become professional.
Yeah.
And that's what was real fun about that movie. And I text you about it. I was like, wow, these guys are kind of like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, except, you know, they actually rearrange her life. Like a lot of
Yes.
them are focused on the food, but then one of the guys is like, oh, I can do a design. I'll help you with your interior. And they like redo her whole restaurant.
Which is beautiful, like, and that's so brilliant too, because like they're like mock doing a service. And they're like, oh, this bar is too high. She has to go over. He's like, I'm gonna remake this kitchen so it's all her height, which is brilliant. And this will save time. Like, what they're like, it's important to like, because people come in quick and they pay quick and they eat quick. So he's like, you can't waste movement. Like he takes, like at one point, girl takes her to like this great ramen spot, and he's like, look at them, they never waste a movement. Everything's this perfect ballet. And the guy, Ken, who ends up being a good guy, like he's like, I'm gonna remake it. I'm gonna remake the whole place. And he's like, we're gonna make this part longer and this the size of you. Like it's, and then Gunn gives her like a makeover. Like Gunn, we don't know a lot about Gunn at all, yet he like dresses her up. Like it's really weird. It's just, you know, it's so funny. It is like it. I didn't think of that. It is like Queer Eye.
Which is like 20 years before that show came out, right? There's a guy that does the interior. There's a guy that does design. There's a guy that does food. There's someone else that always helps with a specific craft. And like the other two crafts are really very ramen focused, but everything
Yeah.
else is
But
very
even that's
similar.
broken up. Like the driver guy, they're like, okay, you do noodles. Sensei, you do broth. And
Yeah.
like and they like steal a broth. Like they she finds this restaurant that has this great broth. And the guy, there's a guy in there who's like, oh, I own the store next door. Come with me. And he like takes her through his store, and like in the back, there's like a little like peephole that she watches in the kitchen. So it's like this perverted act. It's like this like it's like Psycho. It's like, you know, again, it's like movies and sex and food, which is like, I remember in college I had a film professor who said like those are the only things in life that matter: food, sex, and movies. And it's like it's all of them together, and she's like watching him through this like crack in the wall, like oh, he boils chicken feet in his in his broth. That's his secret. It's like so fun and so crazy, but it's like, and it makes you hungry. Like I actually ordered ramen today, and
Same.
because I was like, I need to eat it. But is there's one part of ramen I don't like, which is oh, what's it called? I don't like the menma.
Okay.
That's the it's bamboo that's fermented. It's super strong. Like eating it is it's super strong, but it adds a lot of flavor to the broth.
It might be
Maybe I'm not even supposed to eat it.
you can eat it. I think it is because you're vegetarian, right? And ramen is very like fatty, kind of hearty food. And I think
Yeah.
the menma eaten with the pork. So it's usually made with pork unless
Right.
specified.
Right, I had vegetarian ramen.
And I think eating it with that really fatty piece of meat actually helps break out the other flavors and enhance them.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I was actually trying to figure this out because another cuisine that I really like is pho, which is a Vietnamese big noodle broth. I feel like every culture has some kind of soup, right?
Right, because it's easy, and it's for like people who aren't rich, like.
Yeah, exactly. It's poor people food that then all they but like pho is similar to ramen in the sense that it really needs that fatty meat to cut through the richness of the broth. And without having that sometimes or you have to find an equivalent. And I think an equivalent would probably be like maybe really thick mushroom or something.
Interesting.
But
Yeah.
yeah, but if you
I had
don't
egg in mine. I did put I'd have a good like it was like this spiced egg thing
Ooh, yeah.
that was really good.
They cook the egg in the broth, so it's just
Yes.
like, yeah.
It was pretty awesome.
You definitely need to like, yeah. I think I mean everyone has their own preference, but I think when the menma, it adds to fatty meat and like thick noodle, and you have to eat it all
Yeah.
together.
It adds a
Yeah.
lot to the broth too. Like you definitely want that flavor in there. Yeah, I was getting so hungry watching it today. And you see so many people like eating ramen in it. Like there's just so much ramen, and like, you know, part of the culture is to like slur it down and like make noise when you eat it, because that's like respect to the person who made it. When you're done, you're supposed to hold it to your mouth and drink all of the broth.
Yeah, in different Asian cultures, I've heard that it comes out different, of course, but usually it's like not finishing your food, it means you didn't like it or it's a sign of disrespect, which I don't really think we have in America the same way.
Yeah.
But yeah,
No.
so.
And well, there's a great scene. There's a great, I'll call it, I like to call them sketches because they're so unrelated. There's that great sketch, and it's the only white person in a movie where, like, it's a restaurant and there's a white guy eating ramen. And then on a table, there's like, it looks like a class, there's like a bunch of young women. And then an older woman who looks like their teacher, and it looks like an etiquette class. And they're actually eating Western spaghetti, right? And she's like, this is how you eat spaghetti in the West. And she's like, don't slur. Like, in America, it's insulting to slur. It's like very rude. And so she's like trying to teach them the quote proper way to eat American spaghetti. But then the white guy is slurring the ramen, so all the girls start slurring the spaghetti because, like, here's an actual white guy. Like, she's telling her, like, this is how you fit in with white people eating. But then there's a white person doing exactly the opposite of what she's saying. It's a very interesting sequence because it's a lot of these sketches have to do with like how food intersects with a part of our sociology, and that's the part that feels like it's about how food intersects with nationality. But it's weird. The first time I saw it, I was like, I don't know what the joke is here.
Well, it's also, yeah, that it does. If you don't have a lot of this context, it's really hard because the movie really does not cater to anyone but Japanese people. It's like they're
No,
not going to
yes.
explain things to you. They're assuming that you're going to know it or you're just going to accept it.
Yeah.
And the restaurant had some interesting sketches in it, and I think that one
Right.
was really about also, I think that sketch was very much about, the proper way to eat something is silly. Just
Yes, yeah.
enjoy it and love it. Just like, and those girls, while they were eating so daintily and like so carefully, it wasn't enjoyable. And
Yeah.
when they heard that guy slurping, they went right into it. And
Right.
you could see how much they were
Yeah.
enjoying their food so much more.
And
So.
it's interesting that they're eating spaghetti. Because it's sort of making the point that there's no difference. Like he's eating ramen, you're eating spaghetti. It's noodles. It's long noodles. Like it's really the exact same thing.
Yeah, which is great. That
Well,
restaurant was confusing though because they
it's
had
like a
another.
restaurant and a hotel.
Yeah, but also it's the cuisine because like it seemed like the white guy was eating ramen. The young women in the finishing class were eating spaghetti. But then like, and how the vignettes work is like the characters pass each other and it's like they're passing the baton to the next players. So like how that happens is like they move from the finishing girl, they follow like the waiter or something. He goes to the back, and then there's another group of people, and that's a new sketch, and it's a bunch of Japanese businessmen.
Well, no, I
And
think that happens first.
that
It
happens first. Okay.
goes from the businessman at the meeting to the one we were just talking about with the finishing class, and then he goes upstairs and we see the gangster and the girlfriend, and they have like the funny food sex, funny slash
Okay.
sexy foods. Well, let's talk about the meeting, because the business meeting, I had to literally Google it because I was like, I don't get what the joke is. I did not get it at all until I Googled it.
So how I took it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because you Googled and I didn't, is that all the businessmen were again following that same theme of properness, right? Like they were properly following the what seemed like the head guy or the CEO or whoever. Like again, they don't explain things to you, but. So one guy orders like fish and it's a what's something I was saying before. It's like what is the food in this restaurant? Because their menu was like French. So I'm like, well, they have three different cuisines here. Anyway, so there he orders off a menu with a Heineken, and down the line, every businessman is copying the exact same
Right,
order.
the first person who orders is like the CEO, and then like as it goes down the line, they all just get the same thing, but they don't even necessarily say I want the same thing. They just repeat his order.
Yeah, it's like they can't think for themselves and they're feeling like there's a proper way to eat at this restaurant and they have
Well,
to
I
follow
think
that guy.
when I Googled it, the interpretation that I read was that it's about the hierarchy of the business world. Like as you're paying respect to your boss by l eating what he eats.
Right.
Like the joke of it is they get then at the end, they get to like the youngest kid And he's like asking questions about the menu and he's like ordering all sorts of stupid shit. And like his immediate boss is like kicking him under the table, like, stop, stop. But he's not getting it. And then like you literally like a cartoon, and there's very cartoony shit in this. You see the other guys at the table and they're all like painted red, like their faces are red. Like it's like a Looney Tunes cartoon because they're so furious that this young person has disrespected them by being so bold as to like, you know, it's something that you don't see, you know, in American business, I don't think.
Well, no, it's again, that's another like cultural
Yeah,
context
for
thing we
sure.
don't
Yeah.
get. But I think it definitely does fit into that theme of like there's a proper way to do things,
Yes.
but we're gonna make fun of you for it. And that's like kind of like what it is. Like that
Yeah.
kid, the way he was eating was so again sensual, and that keeps
Yeah.
coming up. And similar to the finishing women, it's like the sensuality of it overtakes the properness, and then that's like
Yeah.
the enjoyment.
Well,
And
while we're
that's the
talking
real way
about,
to enjoy.
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, it's the Zoom. I was gonna say, while we're talking about sensuality, let's finish the three sketches and talk about the hotel room.
Oh God, you hate that scene.
No, I that scene I don't hate. I hate the scene that comes later with the egg.
Oh, okay.
The
Yes.
so we, the gangster that we see at the very beginning, he's upstairs. We see the waiter brings them food. The and you know he's wearing all white, and his like girlfriend is in bed. We could see her boobs. She's naked. She's beautiful. And now they start like having sex with food, and it's supposed to be funny, but I think it's also supposed to be sexy. I think it's supposed to be two things at once. And like he puts like salt and then lemon juice on her nipple and then like sucks her nipple, and then he puts he dips her boob in like a bowl of cream and then like sucks on her nipple. And then in a very, very dirty, like visual double entendre, we see her mouth, but she's got her fingers around her mouth and it's shot vertically, so it looks vaginal. And she's like pouring honey on her mouth and he's like eating the honey out of her lips. It's super dirty. And then like he takes like a live prawn and he like puts it on her stomach and like puts a bowl over it and it's like tickling her as it moves. It's crazy.
Did that scene remind you of The Matrix?
Yes, it reminded me of
Yeah,
like when they take the thing out of Neo's stomach.
but that wasn't erotic at all, but it was very similar. Like the
Yeah.
glass bowl, so you can see the thing, the liquid or food
Yeah.
around the crawfish or
Yeah.
whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was very odd. Yeah, that was very erotic, and that's kind of like their whole, all we see out of their relationship is just eroticism with food. It's very,
Yeah.
that's central.
So if you take like this trilogy of sketches together, right? It's like business etiquette sex. Or like you were talking about like the proper way to do things. Like it's about like maybe like what is the etiquette or the what's the proper way to do things in a business setting, in a you know an etiquette class, or she's trying to teach them how to fit in America. And then like upstairs this criminal, he's like not just a criminal, like he's criminal with sex. And then you see, which I don't know, I think it's supposed to be a flashback of how he meets her. We see like a young woman and she's like got oysters from the sea. She's like literally like swimming and getting oysters. And he cuts his lip on an oyster. So she takes it out and puts it in her hand and he eats it out of her hand. And then he's got like blood on his lip and she licks the blood. And I think, even though it's a different actress, I think it's supposed to be that character. I think it's supposed to be like a flashback of how they meet. Or I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't, I couldn't tell. I took it as something separate just
It's
because we
filthy.
got no context. It is very filthy.
It's filthy. She looks like a 16-year-old girl, and he's eating an oyster out of her hand
And bleeding on her.
and
Yeah.
bleeding on her. Yes. So let's talk about the
Oh.
egg scene. You describe the egg scene for the audience, for our listeners.
Okay. The gangster and his girlfriend, whoever she, they again, they don't really
They don't
explain.
have
It's like
names.
they don't have names, they don't explain context other than the lovers. Oh my God. It's they one of them has an egg yolk in their mouth, and they're just passing the egg yolk, like running it around their mouth and then like pushing it out with their tongue into the other's mouth, and it just
Right.
goes
And
back and
not
forth.
breaking it. Not so they're being very gentle. They're not breaking the yolk. And they're just passing it back and forth.
Yeah, I sent you a picture that the Blu-ray cover is of the two characters side by side, and like the hole where the DVD is supposed to go is like that's supposed to be the egg.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's fun.
I find it so gross. But it's very sensual, and it's and you know, she comes at the at one point towards the end, she like seems overtaken by something, and then she breaks the yolk and it spills, and it's like she came from it, I think. That's how I read it.
Yeah, no, I think we're supposed to read it like that. I was actually wondering if any of these like sex scenes are supposed to be like referencing explicit sex acts. Like that was the egg yolk. I don't know if I'm getting too gross into it, but was it the egg yolk like snow blowing?
When people like come back and
Yeah.
forth, yeah.
Yeah, you
I
come
don't
in
know.
someone's mouth and then you
I don't.
push it back and
Well,
forth between
when
them.
he's eating the honey out of her mouth, it's obviously like supposed to be like cunnilingus.
Yeah, so that's what I was wondering, if the egg yolk was something similar, or how she came and the egg yolk broke and it was like it just
Well, that's
runny.
interesting, right? Because snowballing is when you swap cum back and forth, but that's seed, and egg yolk is an egg. So, like the opposite in terms of procreation.
Yeah, I don't know if we're reading too much into it, but
We
that's what I
we definitely are.
Yeah. What grossed you out about it? I didn't get that feeling.
Just the egg in their mouth. It's not the sexuality of it. It's just the egg. And I like eggs, but just a raw egg spitting it back and forth into each other's mouth. I was like, oh, I couldn't watch it. I actually fast forwarded it today when I saw it again. But like, yeah, it's on the disc. Like, it's probably like the most iconic thing in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's. Well, you know, let's talk about the credits. The end credits is a really interesting thing too. Do you remember the end credits?
To oh man, I don't.
So the end credits is we see a mother on a park bench.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so the breastfeeding, oh my
Yeah.
God, yes. And they really just what slowly zoomed in on this woman's breasts while she was feeding a kid,
Yeah.
a baby, and it was just like, wow, this is like the theme come full circle,
Right,
right?
because
Like food
it's
is life.
right, but and it's also like, because there was already nipple sucking in this movie in sexual way, so it's like sex and food. Like she's feeding the baby, but he's feeding from her breast, and we've already seen multiple times in this movie people suck on breasts. By the way, the way we're talking about it makes it sound like this movie's really perverted. It's not. Like it's just those parts. Like the main story is very wholesome. I think.
Which I think that complicates the movie too. Not in a bad way, but it's like there's a lot of wholesomeness, but then there's erotic stuff, and then there's kind of gross stuff, and it's really a movie that's kind of hard to define, kind
Yeah.
of.
No, it is. It is hard to define. Towards the end of the movie, they don't intersect, but outside of Tempopo's shop, we see the gangster being shot down, and we don't see. We just see, we hear the gunshots and we see him get shot, but we don't see who's shooting him. But then his like white suit is like red and pink because it's raining. It's raining a lot in this movie. And his lover like comes to him and he like the last thing he says to her is like, he like kind of like a recipe. He talks about hunting wild boar because wild boar will eat yams. So when you kill the boar, you cut its intestines out and grill it over a fire and it's like yam sausage. This is like his departing thing for her. And he's like, I really wanted to eat it with you.
Did that scene remind you of like the end of Breathless?
Well, yeah, a lot of them remind me of Breathless. Because even in Breathless, he's like a parody of a gangster. And there's a lot of Breathless that takes place in a hotel room.
Yeah, I just the way the character was, just it reminded me of like, you know, it's interesting because it's like Breathless was a French interpretation of crime and gangster movies. So,
Right.
like, this movie was like a Japanese interpretation of a French interpretation. So, it kind of like how it kind of all bleeds together and how cinema kind of just reaches really different cultures in very similar ways, like, even though they're very different. Yeah, and that was. I guess like their whole relationship was just trying food experiences together. So it makes sense that the parting of that is a food memory or a food wish or desire.
So let's I want to talk about all the sketches. There's another one with a guy on a train who has a toothache, and he's trying to eat on the train, but he can't because of his toothache. And then he goes to a dentist. And this scene is very sensual too, because the camera, like, he's like, there's this beautiful, like, hygienist or whatever, and like the camera lingers on her face and her armpits, and because and earlier on you see the gangster lick his lover's armpits too, and it's very sensual, and then like they all like start like gagging, like they broke into his tooth and it was like gangrenous, and like the smell is like making them gag. It's really gross.
You know what's weird? I don't know if you noticed this, but the hygiene at one point where there's like a medium shot of the patient and the doctors and the hygienist looks like she's dancing back and forth.
Yes,
And it's so odd.
she's like being super alluring in this crazy way.
It was very out there. Like a lot of this movie is kind of like very out there and strange, but it fun and makes you think,
Well,
yeah.
that sketch ends in a weird way because we see the man eating ice cream and he meets a little kid who has a sign on him that says, "Don't feed me bad food, I only eat like whole food." And he gives the kid some of the ice cream, which is kind of weird. It's
And he's just like watching the kid enjoy the ice cream. But I think it ties to that theme of proper way to eat, proper way to do things, and then we're gonna be transgressive and get away from that. So there also is that creepy kind of voyeurism of watching the little kid eat the ice cream and enjoy it. And you see that the man's watching that and he's feeling it. And again, that ties to Tampopo being behind the ramen shop. And yeah, it's a lot. This movie is very sensual.
I think one of the funniest sketches is we see a man running home and his wife is dying. And he's like, "Please don't go, please don't go." And he gets an idea. He's like, "Oh," he's like, "Cook us dinner." And like half dead, she like gets up and cooks the family dinner. And like this is his plan to keep her alive. And then she like serves it to them and she smiles and then dies.
And the doctor and the nurse are there the whole time. It's like she was on her deathbed, and then the husband's pleading and crying and like, cook us dinner. And then she gets up, and at first you're like, oh, is something else happening? But the doctor and the nurse come out from like behind a screen and just like, oh, time of death, 9:22. And the guy has children and they're crying that their mother died, and he's like, hey, finish your food. This is the last meal your mother cooked us.
And obviously this woman is worked to death. Like I was reading the IMDb trivia, and I don't know where any of that shit comes from, but I forget what it's called, but there's a concept in Japanese culture of work to death, and that's like what she's like domestically worked to death. She's like this put upon mother. Like she even as even dying, she gets up to cook for her family and then dies after.
Yeah, that was it was so silly and intense. What did you think of the sketch with the old lady squeezing fruit?
That's another one that's kind of perverted. Like it's like a supermarket, and this old lady, like she's like touching a peach, which is very like, vaginal, okay? And then like she squeezes it and it squirts, and then the person, like the manager, like is running after her, and like she's just constantly squeezing food and getting this weird pleasure out of squeezing food. Like she squeezes the cheese. Again, it's like perverted. Like there's perversion there.
There's also something really satisfying about seeing her like squeeze it until it gets like soft. And the way the peach squirts is very perverted. Just,
Yeah, for sure.
It's just like it squirts out this like arc of peach juice or whatever, and you're
Yeah.
like, whoa, okay.
It's super weird. And then there's that weird sketch about the con artist who's like trying to like steal this old man's money, but then you find out the old man is like a con artist too, and he's trying to pickpocket the guy, and it's
While
all in a
eating.
restaurant, yeah, while eating, yeah.
See, this is what how I took it is that the con artist took this old man out and he was paying for dinner as a way to kind of like schmooze him into investing in a scam.
Right.
But then when he gets up to leave, the old man is just like eating the food, and really enjoying it, but then tries to steal his wallet and like a cop comes to arrest him.
Yeah.
It's so silly. But and he's still like, wait, before you let me go, just one more bite, let me finish. And
Yeah.
it's like eating
Yeah,
before he gets
I
scooped.
think even more than stealing his wallet, I think like the old man's scheme is to get a free meal. Like
Yeah,
it's
that's
about the
it.
food for him. What about the rich guy that they meet who like he's like, let's eat soft shell turtle, and we see on screen a turtle being killed.
That was brutal.
It's brutal. It's hard to watch. And even in the movie, like Tampopo like looks away when it happens. So I was like, what is this trying to say, if anything? Because it's super visceral.
It is. I think it's just another of the themes of just the relationship with food, and like food and death are intertwined.
Okay, yeah.
In that case, killing animals is one thing, but if we think about the wife, the previous sketch, the wife cooking the meal, and it's
Yeah.
like the last meal, and that's also something that happens when people die. You bring food or you
Yeah,
have
yeah, yeah,
food and
yeah.
you eat together. I think it's just one of those things of just how food intersects with our lives and other stuff in our lives.
Also, so thinking about that, the sketch of the wife dying is almost like a bookend to the end of the kid breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Like death and birth. It's almost like food is the heart of everything. Business, nationality, sex, love, family,
Pleasure,
pleasure.
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's such a, oh man, I just really enjoy talking about this movie.
It's so good. And
It's
it goes
so
down
good.
easy. Like it's not, it maybe we're the way we're talking about it is not representing it well. Like it doesn't feel like a hard to watch art movie. Like it's all everything we're talking about is actually played pretty funny, and it goes down very easy. Like it's a very watchable, enjoyable film.
Absolutely. When I watch this movie, I think of just food and movies in general. And we talked about a little bit earlier, chef, and just like that relationship with that food.
Yeah.
And I tried to think of other food movies, and mostly what I think about are documentaries. But there are a lot of fictional films made with food, about food. Have you ever seen Babette's Feast?
No, I haven't.
That isn't. So it's a food movie that is completely different from this. And the concept is this French woman who no one really knows anything about, she moves to this very isolated Nordic village
Yeah.
and she works for these two sisters who are very religious and they have this very small sect. And they decide that they want to, their father was this pastor who really prevented them from experiencing any kind of pleasure. Like they show different scenes of the women when they were younger falling in love, and like that never worked out because their religion was first, and the religion was about suppressing the pleasure.
Okay.
So the con I mean, it's getting a little complicated, but it's pretty simple. It's basically the French woman decides the two sisters, they're spinsterish, they're older, their father's long dead, but they want to commemorate his memory for his birthday, so they want to make a feast for the village. And the French woman asks if she can do it. And she does it, and she makes the most elaborate French meal that these country bumpkins have never experienced in their lives. And it's just about how that food has that like effect on them. And it's so different from this. Because there are not a lot of vignettes and stuff. There are some silliness, but just the similar theme of like food as pleasure and just being able to indulge in that is so lovely. And I
Yeah.
want to watch more movies like these movies just about food
There's
and
not a lot. You know what I mean? Like it's not like a genre really. Like I feel like that's why it's interesting that the bear is so popular now, because I wonder if the bear will bring more kind of stuff like this.
I hope so. I mean, so far, Tampopo came out in 1985. When's a lot? Are there any other ramen movies? There's like one, just looking it up, one is called Ramen Girl, starring Brittany Murphy, which had a, I don't remember when it released, but I remember it being like on DVD or streaming.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it came out in 2008, and Brittany Murphy moves to Japan and it's, has something to do with ramen. I don't know. I never seen
Okay.
it. But again, it's like, Tampopo had this like effect on people,
Yeah.
ramen makers, and this food. It was so unique, but where is that cultural impact in film,
Right,
right?
right, right, right.
Where are the ramen movies? Where are the food movies? And they're so few and far between.
Yeah. There are directors that put food into their movies. Like Miyazaki will put beautiful images of food in his movies.
Oh, I love that Miyazaki's
Yeah, I love
food.
the food in Spirited Away. And in all of the Godfather movies, there's like a recipe in every Godfather movie. The first one is how to make like an Italian like Sunday dinner sauce. Yeah, really interesting stuff. You know Salvador, was it Salvador Dali? I think Salvador Dali wrote a cookbook.
Oh, I have it.
Oh, you have it?
It's very weird.
Have you
It's
made the meat blanket or whatever the fuck that is?
No, I didn't make anything of it. I own it as a just as a weird artifact.
It's super bizarre shit in there.
What? Tell me about this meat blanket.
Well, oh gosh, what's her name? There was a what's her name? I'm gonna look this up because it's there's a series of YouTube videos of like eating with artists, and it's all like with in that episode they go from the cookbook, but with other people it's like this is what this artist would eat every day, and it was
Okay.
so it was a cooking show, but it was about art and artists. What was it called? I'm gonna find it. No, that's not it. Salvador Dali cookbook. Oh, Art Cooking with it's from PBS.
Ooh, fun.
It's hosted by Sarah Green, Sarah Ernest Green. And that's where I learned she does like the meat blanket or whatever thing from the book. It's pretty wild. That's a good episode. And then like yeah, watch, look up the art assignment. That's the name of the YouTube channel.
Ooh,
Yeah. And then there's
this
like,
looks good.
yeah, it's an interesting channel too. Well, Nadia, I think we did it. I think hopefully we've convinced people to go watch Tampopo.
Do it.
Absolutely do it.
It's an experience. You're not going to see a movie like that ever again. Go do
Yeah.
it.
Nadia, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Mike. This was great.
We end every episode by saying,
Go bye-bye.